This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Postgame Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and I'm coming to you mere moments after UCLA's massive comeback win in the LA Bowl over Boise State, 35-22. This was 16-7 Boise State at halftime. 16-7 when Colin Schley went down with what appeared to be some sort of head injury. And Ethan Garbers, kind of shockingly, came into the game. And with Ethan Garbers at the helm, UCLA rattled off 28 points in the second half and held Boise State to 6, making the final score 35-22. It was 35-16, so it was actually 28 unanswered. It was obviously a very, very impressive second half from UCLA's offense. Garbers... So the thing I don't know and the thing I'm not sure of is what the circumstances exactly were for Garbers not starting the game. I know it was a late decision. It was this morning, Saturday morning, that he wasn't going to start. But given that he played and played well and obviously was healthy enough to play, I don't know if it was, I'm feeling 95% but not 100%, so why push it in this bowl game or what it was. But for him to step up then in that situation and play as well as he did when his team needed him, that was very cool to see. Very, very cool to see for Ethan and for the team overall. Schley, I thought, actually, before he got hurt, I thought he was playing his, pretty much his best game of the season. What he was doing with his legs helped to set up that, the first touchdown from Garbers because he got it down to inside the 10. And then he set up the previous touchdown drive with another big run that brought it down inside the 10. His legs were a huge factor early when nothing else was really working for UCLA. And unfortunate to see him go down, but then for Garbers to step in and play as well as he did was, that was very cool to see. In the end, UCLA's offensive performance actually ended up looking, pretty much the best it's been all year. 510 total yards, 280 on the ground. TJ Harden, doing pretty much all the work at the running back position with, Carson Steele out, had 20 carries for 105 yards and a couple of touchdowns. More or less what we were thinking he would be able to do when we were writing about him preseason. And then another guy who did a little bit of what we thought he might be able to do, J. Michael Sturdivant. So in the first and last games of this season, he had like 280 yards. And in between, he had like 280 yards in the 11 other games. Really cool to see him have some really big moments in this game on those deep sideline shots that we thought were going to be kind of bread and butter for UCLA this year, because it's either he's going to catch it or it's going to be a PI. We didn't see a lot of that throughout most of the middle stretches of the season, but came back in this game and he really showed why he can be such a weapon. Hopefully, that's not the last time UCLA sees him in a UCLA uniform. UCLA fans don't see him in a UCLA uniform because, you know, it's very enticing seeing what that looks like with a quarterback who has enough protection. Because that was the other thing that I think stood out is that, and some of it was on those deep shots. Garbers was just throwing it up when he read man coverage at the beginning. Like, it wasn't that last touchdown pass to Sturdivant. It wasn't like he was waiting, and then threw it. He threw that, I don't know, Sturdivant might have been 10 yards downfield when he threw it. So they were getting the ball out, even on those deeper shots. They were getting it out pretty quick. I thought the pass protection was better. You know, I think there were a lot of offensive line issues in this game. Don't get me wrong. There were a ton of penalties. But the pass protection looked a little bit better. Now, some of that was going against Boise State. That's, you know, a group of five defensive line. But it did look improved, and they were able to give both Schley and Garbers time in the pocket, which really, really got rough towards the back half of the Pac-12 season. So that was also good to see. And you could see with a little bit more time, they were able to set up some deeper shots to Sturdivant. And then Kyle Ford was a major factor, too. I mean, he didn't catch for a ton of yards, but he was probably the featured target in that first half, especially. So seeing those two guys who we were gassing up so much preseason, and then for them to, you know, finally kind of put it together in this last game was cool to see. Logan Loy had a couple of drops. This was not a great game for him passing or in the passing game, but he did have that one really nice punt return that will be, you know, lost to memory because it was erased by a penalty, but that was also a good little moment. Defensively, it was a really, really, really rough first half. And then, so a few things went on in that second half. I thought in the second half it was like, basically, the first couple of drives for Boise State, I thought they had some really poor play calling. I think they came out on the first drive out of halftime. They threw it on first down, ran it, and then threw it again on third down, and it was like third and three. There's this just epidemic of offensive coaches just kind of outthinking themselves. And for that entire first half, even when UCLA knew a run was coming, because, you know, I'm used to watching UCLA's defense. Like, when they know a run is coming, they're, you know, moving guys up the line of scrimmage. Even when they knew, Boise State was still getting 6-7 yards a pop because those running backs are really good and UCLA wasn't tackling well. And yet they came out kind of throwing, came out balanced in the second half, and I just thought that was a major, major mistake. And it kind of got the momentum going a little bit because the defense was suddenly like, oh, okay, the offense is here to play. They're scoring a little bit. Now we can get it going. And it just led to this deluge of, you know, again, 28-0 unanswered. I thought it was just some poor management of what was working well and what wasn't. Because CJ Taylor was doing just enough in that first half, but he was shaky. Like, there were two of those field goal drives, they ended because he nearly threw picks in the end zone and became field goals. It seemed like this would have been a game for Boise State to avoid passing as much as humanly possible, and I don't think they fully committed to that. But UCLA was in a position to take advantage, and then even when Boise State tried to reestablish the running game, UCLA was in, I would say, better position to handle that. So, you know, it wasn't the dominance we've seen from UCLA. It wasn't the, you know, the Danton Lynn, Leatu Latu, Kamari Ramsey defense, but stepped up in the second half, made it count when it mattered, and did enough to win the game. Wouldn't have been enough in a game where UCLA's offense continued to struggle, but it was enough in this game when the offense came alive. But yeah, I mean, it was cool to see Alex Johnson get another interception. I think he led the Pac-12 in interceptions this year in his sixth year. It was very, very cool to see that. I thought the Murphy twins largely played really well. I thought Darius Muasau in his last game played pretty well. Secondary tackling, I thought, was probably the main issue I noticed defensively. I thought Jordan Anderson had some rough moments. Jalen Davies had some rough moments. Kenny Churchwell had some rough moments. But I would say the front seven mostly played pretty well. you know, there were some – those running backs are good. I mean, I noted that in the preview, but the I look at it and I'm like, Gianti, but that's not it. He's really good. Like, he'd be a Pac-12 starter at many, many schools. So for him to, you know, run for a lot on you and break a lot of tackles, that's not unexpected. So it was a good defensive performance. Yeah, it wasn't the shutdown elite defense, but I don't think anyone was expecting that, given this was a pretty good Boise State offense, even with, you know, quarterback issues. Pretty good Boise State offense, pretty good rushing attack, and UCLA was down a bunch of guys. So I think in the context of all of that, pretty good showing. But yeah, I mean, so UCLA finishes the season 8-5. That is going to get trumpeted as, you know, third straight year of 8+ wins, and more power to them. This is, I mean, I think for most people, like, if you're basing it off of your preseason set of expectations, a little bit disappointing. But at this stage, walking into the offseason with a win instead of a loss, with a win instead of a fourth loss in 5 games, I think that is obviously a positive feeling for the fans out there. And, you know, setting aside all of the, like, complicated or very simple arguments as to what the hell, why is any of this continuing to happen, I think you've got to be, you know, probably feeling better than you'd be feeling if the score was reversed right now. So, in any event, UCLA finishes the season 8-5, has its first bowl win under Chip Kelly, and now with 4 days until National Signing Day, early National Signing Day, we will see what this class ends up looking like, and also get some information on NFL draft departures and how the roster is going to shake out. We'll have a lot more information on all of that heading into the end of December. So with that, it's been a fun season. Enjoyed talking to you all, and we'll be back again next week with our regular show. Talk to you soon.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever, and this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.